B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to start Eruvin Daf Chof Ches, and we're going to start 14 lines from the bottom of Daf Chof Zayin Omud Beis. That's where this sugya starts, and we're going to start from there. We saw in the previous Gemara that at the bottom of Chof Zayin Omud Aleph, there was a machlekus between Rebbe Yehuda ben Godish and Rebbe Eliezer as to whether one is allowed to use the money of Maisa Sheni, which has to be used to buy food items in Yerushalayim, then are you allowed to buy with that money fish? And we saw that according to Rebbe Yehuda ben Godish, they were even allowed to buy tzir, fish juice, even not just the fish. Rebbe Eliezer said, no, you can only buy the fish juices, the brine, if there's a little bit of the innards, the insides of the fish, also in that mixture, and then it's, so to speak, you're buying fish with the money, and you're allowed to buy fish. According to Rebbe Yehuda ben Godish, that even the fish juice you can buy with the money, of course you can buy fish as well. Which means that both Rebbe Yehuda ben Godish and Rebbe Eliezer, even though they argue about tzir, the fish brine, however, they both agree that one is allowed to buy fish with the money of Maisa Sheni. But however, in the Gemara later on Daf Chof Ches, we're going to see that there are some Tanoim who hold that one is not allowed to buy fish with the money of Maisa Sheni. Exactly why and how, we're going to see in a minute. The question is, B'mai komifligi Rebbe Yehuda ben Godish v'Rebbe Eliezer v'hani Tanoi d'lekamon? What is the point of their argument? From what's the basis of their argument? What are they arguing about? What is it that Rebbe Yehuda ben Godish and Rebbe Eliezer hold that allows you to buy fish with Maisa Sheni money and the other Tanoim not? Says the Gemara, Rebbe Yehuda ben Godish, Rebbe Eliezer, Dorshi Ribui Umiuti, Vahani Tanoi, Dorshi Kloli Uproti. And this is something which is a very broad topic in many places in Shas, that there's often two ways of looking at the same thing. And the difference is that we have a tradition on how the rules of Torah Shebal Peh work, and depending on how you look at it and which rule you use, that's what determines what the halacha will be. For example, there's a rule, ribo miet v'ribo. If you have one term used in the Torah which is very inclusive, it's very broad, and then beyond that, straight away, you have a miut. You have a posuk that says, no, it's a restricting term. And then afterwards, again, you have a more broader term. Then you could see that as a ribo, ribui, which is many, miut, which is less, ribui, which is many, miut, ribo, miut, ribui, the halacha is ribo hakol. When you see that string, when you see that type of formula, then what the Torah is coming to tell us is to say that you're actually allowed to include everything. Besides, for the things that are excluded explicitly in the miut. And we'll soon see what that means. However, one can look at the same string of psukim and not call it ribo miut v'ribo, rather call it klal uprat uklal. A klal is a rule, a prat is a detail. So when you have a very broad pasuk, you can look at it as riba, as many. You can also look at it as a rule, as a klal. And then beyond it, you have prat, you have just a few details. And then you have klal, which is again a rule. And the Masorah is, the tradition we have is that klal or prat or klal, then what the bottom line is, anything that's included which is similar to the prat, which is similar to the details that are mentioned, those are also included. But it has to be similar. Those are two ways of looking at psukim. Ribo miot ribo, and the conclusion of that is ribo hakoil, we include everything. Klal uprat uklat, klal uprat uklal, we don't include everything, we only include me'ein haprat, it has to be similar to the prat. And the truth is, even in ribo miot and ribo, it, where we say ribo hakoil, it also has to be somewhat similar to the prat, somewhat similar to the miut, because it's in the same context. We'll soon see what the difference between the two are. Now, in klal o prat o klal, it's important that we make another introduction. There's a rule that says klal o prat on its own. Let's say you only had a klal and then a prat. or if you only had a prat and then a klal. So that it goes like this. If you only have a klal and a prat, you first have a rule, and then you have a prat, which is details. What that's teaching us is that the only pratim, the only details that you can use, even though the pasuk has said a rule, you're only allowed to use that rule for the very details that are mentioned, nothing more. That's klal or prat. If you've got prat or klal, then the reason that you have a klal after the prat is to teach us that you can be moisif, you can add onto the klal, onto the prat, you can add whatever you want. It's all included. That's prat or klal. When you have klal or prat or klal, which is a bit of both, you also have klal or prat, and then you have prat or klal. So the halacha is that you go middle way. It's not like klal or prat, where you can only use this rule for the prat which is mentioned. No, but it's not like prat or klal that you can add anything. You can add, so to speak, as if it was prat or klal, but whatever you add has to be similar to the prat, because that's what klal or prat. Klal or prat says it's only allowed to be the pratim that are mentioned. Klal or prat or klal says that you can add any other pratim, providing they are similar to the pratim that are mentioned. That's klal, prat, or klal. And even in klal, prat, or klal, where the way we work with it is that you're allowed to include anything which is similar to the prat, it makes a very big difference if you look at it mainly as being a klal or prat, which means that the main part of the formula of klal or prat or klal is the klal or prat part, which means that technically speaking or intrinsically speaking, you're only allowed to include the pratim, and then the added klal afterwards is telling you, no, you don't only, you it's not only these pratim, you're allowed to add. But because the main part of the rule is the klal or prat, any details you add have to be very, very similar to the pratim. However, if the main part of the klal or prat or klal is the prat or klal part, and prat or klal on its own right would let you add anything, then now that it's klal or prat or klal, then it tells you it has to be similar to the pratim, but it can be somewhat less similar than if you would hold that the klal or prat part is the most dominant part of the klal or prat or klal. Let's see the Gemara inside. Rabbi Yehuda ben Godish, Rabbi Eliezer, they both learn the following psukim using, they are doirish, ribuy umiut. They use the rule of ribuy, miut, v'ribuy, and that means ribuy hakoil. However, v'hani tanoi, those other tanoim who say that you're not allowed to buy fish with the money of ma'isa sheni, dorshi klal uprat, they learn it's a klal uprat or klal, and we'll soon see how that works, but if it's klal uprat or klal, then we exclude fish. At least according to one way of seeing the klal or prat or klal, and we're going to see that. Rabbi Yehuda ben Godish, Rabbi Eliezer, Dorshi, Ribu, Mi'uta. Now the Gemara is going to specify. The Pasuk says regarding Ma'isa Sheni, V'nosato ha-kesef b'choil asher ta'ave nafshecho. You're allowed to buy with Ma'isa Sheni money anything that your spirit, your soul, anything that your nefesh desires. That's a riba. That is a phrase which is very much all-encompassing. Anything you want, you can buy. And then the Pasuk specifies, Babokor, Ubatsoin, Ubayain, Ubasheichor, which is the big animals, the smaller animals, wine, beer. Those are miut. Those are already exclusions. Those are limiting the things you can buy. You can't buy anything. You can only buy these four things. And then the Pasuk continues, Ubachol ashetish olcho nafshecho, Nafshecho, that you can buy with it anything that your nefesh desires. Again, chozar v'ribo, it's another ribui. So you have ribui, miut v'ribui. And what's the halacha? That ribui, ribo, miut v'ribo, ribo hakel, you can include everything. Everything that's not been excluded almost explicitly with the pratim, those are included. My Robbi, Robbi kol mili. What we marbe, what we including, anything you want. It's got to be a food item, but any food item you want. Umay miut, and what that means, when the fact that it's ribo miut v'ribo, that means the fact that it says bokot soin yain sheicho, it must be telling you there's something you can't buy. What is that? Rabbi Eliezer Mi'atzir, Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish, Mi'ot Maim v'melach. According to everybody, you're not allowed to buy salt or water or salt water with this money. That's what this is. That's what the miut is coming to exclude. And according to Rabbi Eliezer, that says you are allowed to buy salt water with it, he says you're not allowed to buy. No, according to Rabbi Eliezer, not only are you not allowed to buy salt water, you're also not allowed to buy tzir, which is the fish juices, if there's no parts of the fish inside it. So that's what it's memait. But besides for Maim u'melach, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish, and the fish juices, according to Rabbi Eliezer, everything else is included, and nothing has to be similar to anything. Everything else, all other food items are included, and therefore fish are included in the ribui, and you can use the Maisa Sheini money to buy fish. V'hani tanoi, those other tanoim who say that you're not allowed to buy fish with money of Maisa Sheini, Dorshi, they learn differently. They learn Kloli uprati. They're using the rules of Klal uprat uklal. De Tanya, because we have a brisa to this effect, the same psukim. V'nosato akesev b'cholash etav nafshecho klal. That's the klal, that's a rule. You can buy anything you want. Baboko batzoin bayayim uvasheichor, that's a prat, those are details. Ubecholashetish olcho nafshecho is again a klal, chozar vekolal. It's another rule. Klal uprat uklal. When you have a klal and then a prat and then a klal, I atodon elok eina prat. Unlike ribo miuti ribo, that you include everything, klal uprat uklal says it has to be similar to the prat. What's similar? Ma prat mefurush, in the same way as the prat, which is bokor tzoin, yain and sheichor. It's mefurush, that it's pre mepri. It's something that comes from something else. Bokor and tzoin are born from their mothers. Yain, wine comes from grapes. Sheichor comes from other fruits or other ways of making sheichor. But it's something that comes from something else. It's got to be pre-mipri, and also v'gidulei karka. They live off the ground. Either they are the ground, or they live off the ground. Bokor and tzoin feed off the ground, off grass, off bushes, off vegetables. Yayin and sheichor comes from grapes that grow on the ground. So anything that is nourished from the ground that can be bought with Maisa Sheini money. And another condition that's, again, similar to these pratim, is that it has to be pre-mipri. So, for example, water is not pre-mipri. Salt is not pre-mipri. So you can't use it by mice. You can't use the money of Maisa Sheini to buy it. Fish, for example, that's going to be our discussion. Fish, do they live off the ground? They live in the water. So it could be maybe fish. Do fish feed off the ground or not? We'll soon see. It's a little bit of a machlekes amiroim, but they are pre-mipri. The question is, are they gedulei karka? However, ma prat, in the same way as the details, bokor, tzoin, yain, and sheichor, are mufurush, they are pre-mipri and gedulei karka, af kol, so too, anything that you want to buy with Maisa Sheini money has to be pre-mipri, it has to be something that comes from something else, and it has to be gedulei karka, it has to be nourished from the ground. V'tani idoch, there's another braisa that's almost the same. It's also using klal uprat uklal, just in the second braisa, besides for saying, because what does klal uprat uklal say? That whatever you include has to be similar to the protim. What similarities? So in the first braisa, we have two similarities, pre-mipri and gedulei karka. In the next braisa, besides for those two, it adds on a third condition that it has to be even more similar, not just pre-mipri and gedulei karka, it needs another condition as well. V'tani idoch, ma prat. It just like the details, bokor, tzoin, yain, and sheichor, mufurush, that besides for them being pre-mipri and gedulei karka, it's also, they are vlad, they are offspring of vlodoi sa'oret, something that was created from land. So yain and sheichor is obviously coming from things that grow. That's something that's coming from something that grows. Bokor and tzoin are animals, and the pasuk says in Maisa Bereishis, "Toitzei ha'oretz nefesh chayo." The life force of animals comes from the oretz, comes from the ground. Therefore, it's called vlad of vlodoi sa'oretz. And so to afkol, so to anything you want to include in this to buy with Maisa Sheini money has to be also vlad of Lodi. So Aret has to be something which is generated from something that's generated from the earth. Now, fish are clearly not generated from the earth. It says in the Pasuk, Yishretzu hamayim sheret nefesh chaya, that anything in the world of the fish is generated from water, not generated from earth. So according to this second version of Klal Uprat or Klal, it's clear that fish are not included. According to the first version, we can discuss. According to the first version, it doesn't need to be so similar that it even has to be Vlad, Vlodei Sa'oret. It's enough if it's just prima pri, which fish are. They come from eggs, they come from their mothers, and the Gidulei Karka. The question is, are fish considered Gidulei Karka? What do they get their nourishment from? The water and other fish that live in the water, or do they get their nourishment from the reefs and the plantation that grows in the water, which is Gidulei Karka? That's going to be a question. May binayu, Omar Abaya. Abaya says that the difference between the two versions of Klal Uprat Klal, Dogim Ike binayu, the difference is going to be the fish. Lemanda Omar prima priva Gidulei Karka, according to the first brisa that says you only need two conditions, two similarities to the prat. Hani dogim Gidulei Karka ninu, I Abaya hold that fish are Gidulei Karka, and therefore you're allowed to buy fish with Maisa Sheni money. And according to that, Rav Yehuda ben Godish and Rav Eliezer, they could learn Riba Miut V'Riba. They could also learn Klal Uprat Klal, according to the first version. Leman de Omar Vlad Vlodei Sa'oretz, according to the second of these two brises, that says that it has to, that to buy something with Maisa Sheni money, it also has to be that it's generated from something that was generated from the earth, Dogi Mimaya Ibru, that everybody agrees that fish do not fit that bill. Fish were created from water, Yishretzu Hamayim Sheretz Nefesh Chaya, and not from the earth. Asks the Gemara, Mi Omar Abaya, Dogim Gidulei Karka Ninu? Abaya really holds that fish are included in Gidulei Karka, they nourish off plantation, of things that grow on the ground. And that's why Abaya can say that that's the difference between these two versions of Klal Uprat Klal. V'omar Abaya, did Abaya not say, Ochel Putiso? Putiso is a type of a creature which grows in the water. Loike Arbo, Nemolo Loike Chomish, Tziro Loike Sheish. Let's just explain this very quickly. There are many psukim in the Torah that tell us that you're not allowed to eat things that are osa, shrotzim, and other different creatures you're not allowed to eat. We call them their treif. The Gemara here is making mention of eight different psukim. And the way that the eight psukim are grouped are as follows. There are two psukim which apply to these creatures irrespective of whether they are water creatures, land creatures, or air creatures. If they are birds, if they are animals on the land, or if they are fish. Two psukim apply to all three categories. We have another two psukim that only apply to water creatures. We have another three psukim that apply to oret, to land creatures, and to those that fly, to fowl, not to water creatures. And then we have one last pasuk that only speaks about the birds, those animals, those creatures that fly. That's how the eight psukim are split up. Now, if you say that fish are Gidulei Karka, that means that any pasuk that tells us that you're not allowed to eat the certain creatures that are sherets of the orets, that are the tomei creatures of the land, should also apply to the fish, because the fish are also Gidulei Karka according to Abaya. So the Gemara is asking, V'omar Abaya, did Abaya not say that Ochel Potisa, if somebody eats one of these creatures which are tomei from the water, from the fish land, Loika Arba, he's done four Averis. And as we said now, two psukim are exclusive to fish, and there's another two psukim that are across the board, also to fish. So you have four. Nemola, if you eat an ant, which is a land creature, Loike Chomish, then you're going to be chaya for five. You have the two psukim that apply to all the creatures that are tomei, and we said there's another three psukim that apply to land and birds that do not apply to water, and there you have five. Tzira, if you eat a tomei creature that's flying in the air, Loike Sheish, then you're going to be chayev six psukim. We have, you have the two psukim that apply to all types of the tummy creatures. You have the three psukim which apply to any creature which is either on land or in the air. And you have the extra one which applies exclusively to the birds, to fowl, to the flying creatures. Vim Isa, that's what Abaya said. Vim Isa, and if you're right, that Abaya says that fish are considered gidule karka, then putisa, this creature from the water, nami lilki mishum hasheretz hasheretz ala oretz. It should also be chayev for the three averas that the sherets of the oretz have. In which case, to be chayev, if you eat the putisa, you shouldn't be chayev for four, you should be chayev for seven, because there's an extra three that apply to the oretz that we thought don't apply to the fish. But if all fish are gidule karka, then you should have seven. Elo Omer Vina, so Ravina argues and says no. Of course, fish is not included in gidule karka. That's clear. So if so, what's the difference between the two versions of the Braisa of klal uprat or klal, whether it needs to be similar to the prat, just in two details, pre-mepri and gidule karka, or even with three details that they are made of vlodois oret, something that's generated from the earth? What's going to be the difference between these two brises? Says Ravina, oifois. Birds are going to be the difference. Ikabinayu. Lamand omar pri vegidule karka. According to the first brisa, that says that what you buy with maisa sheini money only has to be similar to the details of bokor, tzoin, yain, and sheikhor in two aspects, pri mepri and gidule karka. Haninami, gidule karka ninu. Then birds are definitely pri mepri. Again, they come from eggs, from their mothers. They are prima pri and gidule karka, they nourish off things that grow on the ground. But Laman Do'oma, the second brisa, who says vlad vlodei sa'oretz, those who say that it has to be made, generated from something that's generated on the earth, that second brisa is not going to allow you to use my sasheni money to buy birds. Fowl. Why? Hani oifois minarakak nivru. Birds were actually created not exclusively from land, like it says that toitze ha'oret nefesh chayo. They were actually created from a swampy type of land where you have some dust and earth and you have water covering it. It's a mixture of water and earth, but not exclusively min ha'oret, and therefore it's not similar to the details of bokor, tzoin, yain, and sheichor. And therefore, you cannot, according to that second brisa, you cannot buy birds with maisa sheini money. Man de marbi oifois. So now we said that we really explained that there's two brises on how far do you say klal uprat or klal? How similar does anything you want to include have to be to the pratim? Is it just with two details, which is some of the details of the pratim, or does it have to be with three, which means even more similar? It has to be very, very similar to the mentioned details in order to be included in the klal. And the difference being the birds. So the Gemara says, Mandem marbi oifois, maitame, umandem mamit oifois, maitame. What's the underlying argument here? We had two brises. One brisa says that it's enough if what you're being marbe is slightly similar to the prat, and the second brisa says it has to be very similar. What are they arguing about? Says the Gemara, Mandem marbi oifois. The first brisa that says it only has to be similar somewhat, not extremely similar, and therefore birds, which are not very, very similar because it's not vlad, vlodis oret, nonetheless it's similar enough because it's prima pri and gidule karka is included. That brisa understands kosovar klole basra dafka, and this is what we introduced before. The way that the first brisa looks at things is that the main part of the klal uprat uklal is actually the second half, the prat uklal. And if it was just prat uklal, we would include everything. Now that there's a klal before it, it says, no, you can only include something that's similar. Okay, so all that does is limits the everything part. And therefore, it doesn't matter if it's just partially similar. Klal basra, the second klal dafka, is the main part. Prat uklal, if it would only be a prat and that second klal, nase klal moisif ala prat, then you can, the klal, that's how it goes. Prat or klal, the klal is moisif on the prat. And then what would v'ir bilu kol mili? We would include everything, because that's what prat or klal says. V'hani klal kama, now that you have a klal before the prat, is coming to teach us lim'ute kol dulei domi lo mishnei tzadim. It's just limiting a little bit. You can include quite a lot, but make sure it's somewhat similar. It doesn't have to be similar for everything. If two of the three things are similar, it's enough. Mishnei tzadim, two sides is enough. Manda mamit oifo is the second braisa that says it has to be very, very similar, that anything you want to be marbed, you want to include and use my sasheni money to buy, it has to be very similar to the bokor tzoin yain and sheikhor. Kosova, they hold klala kama dafka. The main klal, or the main part of the klalu prato klal is the first part, is the klala kama dafka. Especially the first klal, which is klal uprat, and if it would only say klal uprat, v'ein bichlal elomash beprat, if it would only say klal uprat, it would mean that the only things you're allowed to use is bokor, tzoin, yayin, sheikhor, nothing else. Hani in midyachrin niloi, these things, yes, nothing else. V'hani klala, what the second rule is doing, what the second klal is doing, hani klala basra lirabuya kol de domi lo mishneit stodim. It's true that you have a second klal, which is inferior somewhat to the first klal, and it says you can include more than just bokor, tzoyin, yain, and sheikhor, but since the main klal is the first one, we want whatever you're going to include to be extremely similar to the protim, to the bokor, tzoyin, yain, and sheikhor, and that's why you need all three similarities, not just two, and therefore birds are not included. Continues the Gemara. Omer Rabbi Yehuda Mishmei Derav Shmuel Bar Shilas Mishmei Derav. It was said in the name of Rav as follows. And just before we start the next Gemara, which is going to take us to the end of the daf today, the concept called food. Who doesn't know about food? Food has a number of halachas. There are a number of things that, being that they are food, means something, has ramifications and halachic implications. One of them is Eruvin. That's why we're learning about it here. In order to make an Eruv, you have to have food items for an Eruv. You have to know, does this food item pass for an Eruv? Eruv has its own conditions. It has to be entirely edible when you make the Eruv, and Eruvin has its conditions. There's another discussion which we've discussed. Are you allowed to buy specific items with Maisa Sheni money? You're only allowed to buy food items based on the conditions we've had, but it has to be a food item. That's another halacha of food. Like we said, if it's prima pri and it's gidulei karka, and especially if it's also vlad vlodei saoretz, then you can use maisa sheni money with it. And it's got different conditions than eruv. There's another discussion we have with food items, and that's what bracha do you make? Is it something that's associated to the land, to the earth, in which case you would make a boyer pri ha'adama, sometimes boyer pri ha'etz, or do we say no, it's not associated to the land, and you would make a shahakil if it's edible? And then we have another halacha, which is tumah. We know that food can become tomei. Not only can it become an av ha'tumah and a rishon le'tumah, like people and clothes and other utensils, but food can even become a sheni letuma with chulin, shlishi letuma for truma, and revi letuma for kodesh. These are concepts we've discussed previously. There's another halacha with food. Food items that grow, you have to take maaser from. There's trumas and maasers. Is this food item called food in the parasha, in the sugya, in the halachas of maaser? So these are five different areas in halacha that have to be discussed regarding food. It would be nice if it was across the board, which means anything which is called food, you can use for an Eruv, and you can buy with Maisa Sheni money, you make a bracha for whatever you would make on the food, it's Matame Tumas Eichlin, and you have to take Maisa from it. And anything that's not, is not. That means if it was clear and across the board, that would be easy. But that's not going to be the case. And we're now going to discuss seven different food items. Let's see what Rav said. Rav said, Ma'arvin, he's talking about the parasha of Eruvin. Are you allowed to use the following to make an Eruv? Pa'apuin, which is a type of food item, uba challa gloigois, uba gud godonios. You're allowed to use them for mice. You're allowed to use them to make an eruv. And we're not going to translate them into English because I don't know if it's absolute, if we have absolute knowledge as to what these things are in contemporary terms. Avalo, you're not allowed to use for an eruv choses. Choses are ear of grains that were harvested whilst they were still green, whilst they were not yet ripened. Veloibe kafniyos. Kafniyos are dates that are not matured. They're not ripe dates. So you're not allowed to use not choses and not kafniyos for an eruv. Why? Because you can't eat them. They're not ready to eat a meal with them, and therefore you cannot use it for an eruv. Are they called food items across the board? That's something we're going to see. So that's what Rav said. So the Gemara says, "Ubegud gedoniyo smima arvin." You, Rav, said that you're allowed to use good gedoniyos to make an eruv, meaning it's a food item, it's something you dine on. V'hotanya, this seems to disagree, to argue with the Braisa. The Braisa says good gedoniyos. Then what good gedoniyos does to a person, it weakens his ability to have children. So merube bonim, somebody who's got children, the literal term is many children, but it means he's got the minimum required to have done the mitzvah of pru ravu, yoichlu. Even though it minimizes the ability to have children, it doesn't totally destroy it, and therefore you're allowed to eat it. You've got the children that Hashem told you to have as a minimum, even though it's a mitzvah to have more, you're not destroying your ability altogether, you're allowed to eat these good gedoniyos. Chasuche bonim, but people who do not have children yet, lo yoichlu, they should not eat these good gedoniyos. Ve'im hukshu, but if the stalks of these good gedoniyos have become hardened to the point that there's already seeds inside these good gedoniyos, v'im hukshu lezera, if the stalks are already hardened and there are seeds there, then af merubei bonim, there it destroys the ability for a person to have children entirely, and even somebody who's got children, lo yoichlu, should not eat good gedoniyos. So you see here clearly that good gedoniyos is something that's detrimental to a person's health, and how can you say that you can make an eruv with it? And we're going to have three answers in the Gemara. The first one, Tirgama, Asheloi Hukshu, Lezera, Umru Beibonim, that when Rav said you're allowed to make an eruv with good gedoniyos, what he meant was, number one, the stalks have not been hardened, and number two, it's only allowed to be used by a person who's got children, and therefore he's allowed to eat it. If he's allowed to eat it, he can use it for an eruv. V'ibois Eimo, or another explanation, La'olam L'chasuchei Bonim. We're talking about that it's true that the stalks have not hardened, and somebody who's got children is allowed to eat it. But even somebody who doesn't yet have children is allowed to use it for an eruv. D'hachozu L'merubei Bonim. We've seen that in the previous sugya, that if a food item is able to be eaten by one person, even though it's not able to be eaten by somebody else, the somebody else is allowed to use it for an eruv. So since it's somebody who's got children is allowed to eat good gedoniyos, so you see good gedoniyos is considered a food item, so even somebody who doesn't have children and he himself is not allowed to eat it, or shouldn't eat it, he's allowed to use it to make an eruv. Miloitnan, did we not learn in the Mishnah, Ma'arvin le'nozir b'yayin, even a nozir who's not allowed to drink wine is allowed to use wine to make an eruv, because somebody else who's not a nozir can drink the wine. Uli Yisrael b'truma, a Yisrael is allowed to use truma foods to make an eruv, even though he's not allowed to eat truma, only a kohen is allowed to eat truma. Since a nozir can use wine and a Yisrael can use truma, so too somebody who doesn't have children can use good gedoniyos. Alma, so we see from there, afal gav deloy chazi lahai, even though a particular food item is not fit for one person, since it's fit for somebody else, you're allowed to use it to make an eruv. Hochanami, so too here, with good gedoniyos, afal gav deloy chazi lahai, even though it's not fit for somebody who doesn't have children, chazi lahai, it's fit for somebody who does have children, and therefore even somebody who doesn't have children is allowed to use it. V'ibois eima, a third explanation is that really we're using something, Rav is talking about something that everybody's allowed to eat always. Ki ka'omar Rav, behandukuki madoi, is talking about Persian gudgudonios, and the Persian gudgudonios are not detrimental to anyone's health. Those gudgudonios everybody can use to make an Eruv. So these are three options, three ways of explaining how Rav can say that you can use gudgudonios for an Eruv, even though gudgudonios, some forms of gudgudonios, are detrimental to some people's health. Continues the Gemara. Ubechaziz loy, you Rav said that you're not allowed to use the grains that are unripened, the grains that are still green from being not ripe, and you harvested them. You Rav said you're not allowed to use it to make an eruv. Ubechaziz loy, va'omer of Yehuda amar Rav. I've got a contradicting opinion from Rav himself. What did Rav say? Koshos. Another food item, koshos is something that sprouts and grows on the prickly branches of shrubs. It doesn't grow straight off the ground, it grows on the branches of some shrubs, of some bushes. That's koshos. And v'chozis, which is what we mentioned, the unripened ears of grain, ma'arvin b'hen, you can use it to make an eruv. And in the, over here, Rav adds on that both of them are mevarchin aleihem b'ir pri ha'adoma. The bracha, both for chozis and for koshos, is b'ir pri adoma, because they grow off the ground. But so, as far as Eruv is concerned, how could you, Rav, say in the first quote, Rav Yehuda Mishmeida Shmuel Bar Shilas Mishmeida Rav, that you cannot use chozis for an Eruv, and here we have Rav Yehuda Marav, who says you can use chozis for an Eruv. Says the Gemara, Loi Kashya. It's not a contradiction. Ha mikame de'osor Rav lebovel, ha lebosor de'osor Rav lebovel. The first answer of the Gemara is that Rav, at first, he was in Eretz Yisrael, and in Eretz Yisrael, nobody ate chozis. It wasn't an edible, it wasn't generally used to be eaten, and therefore he said, you can't use it for an Eruv. When he came to Bovel, and he realized that at least in Bovel, everybody's eating it, so at least in Bovel, you're allowed to use chozis to make an Eruv. Here in Bovel, it's regular edible food. Says the Gemara, Ubebovel have your ruba de alma? Are you trying to tell me that in the whole world, chozis is not edible, and therefore you wouldn't be allowed to use it for an Eruv? Just because Bovel eat it, you're allowed to use it for an Eruv in Bovel? Why should that be true? V'otani, we learnt in a brisa, hapul v'asa'ira v'atilson, which are different types of beans and barley and tilson. And we're talking here about, are you chayev to take meiser from it? And in order to be chayev to take meiser, it has to be considered an edible food. So leyerek, if you planted it in order to eat its leaves, botlo daito itzel kol odom. Since you planted it with the intentions of doing something with it that nobody does, nobody plants pul, so'ira, or tilson in order to benefit from its leaves, to eat its leaves. If you did it to eat its leaves, botlo daito itzel kol odom. We disregard your intentions altogether, and it's as if you planted them in order to benefit from the seeds, from the grains of the soira, from the beans themselves and the tilson, and therefore lefikach zaron, its seeds chayev, are considered a food item, and he's chayev to take maaser from it. V'yarkon, but their leaves are not considered a food item, potter, and they're potter to take maaser from it. V'hashachalaim, v'hagargir, which is another type, two types of vegetation. Shezaron the yerek. If you planted them in order to eat the leaves, misasrin, yerek v'zera, then you have to take maisa not only from the leaves, but also from its seeds. Zaron l'zera, if you planted it in order to benefit from the seeds, then also misasrin zera v'yerek, that means irrespective of why you planted these, the shachalaim and the gargir, irrespective of why you planted it, you're chayev to take maisa also on the leaves and also on the seeds. So what do we see from here? From this brisa, we see from the first part of the brisa that says that if a person planted pul, so'ira, and tilson with the intentions of using it for eating its leaves, we say botlo daitoy etzel kol odom, even though he planted it to eat the leaves and he's eating the leaves, he does not need to take maisa from the leaves. Why? Because in the whole world, people don't eat the leaves of pul, so'ira, and tilson. So why is that different to what we saw here regarding the Chozis? Even though Urav came to Bavel, and in Bavel is the only place where they eat Chozis, does that mean it's called a food item? It's not called a food item, and therefore you shouldn't be allowed to use it for an Eruv, even though they eat it in Bavel. That was the question the Gemara asked. Answers the Gemara, Kiko Omar Rav, a different answer. When Rav said that you're allowed to make an Eruv with Chozis, what he meant is a type of Chozis, Dagnunisa. This is a Chozis that is planted, that is grown. It's the harvest, it's the grains that are grown in a garden. And the grains that are grown in a garden, those are edible. People everywhere in the whole world eat them, and therefore it's considered a food item, and you can use it for an Eruv. However, the Chozis that is grown in the fields, they are not allowed to be used anywhere for an Eruv. Continues the Gemara. Zera gargir lemay chozi. Just by the way, we mentioned before that if you plant the gargir, we said shachalayim and gargir, then if you planted it, irrespective of whether you planted it for the leaves or if you planted it for the seeds, they're both considered food items, and you take maisa on the green part of it and the seed part. The question is, what would you do with the seeds of gargir? Lemay chozi, what's it fit for? Rabbi Yechanan says shekein rishonim in earlier times shelohoyo lehen pilpelin, they didn't have pepper as a sharp spice to spice their foods. Sheichakin oisei, they used to crush this gargir, the seeds of the gargir, umatbilin boyes atzli, and the roasted meat they would dip into this ground up seeds of the gargir, and that's why it's considered a food item. Continues the Gemara. And we're now continuing with Chozis and Koshois that we saw before. Rav said that you're not allowed to use it for an Eruv, but we said that Chozis, that Rav says you're not allowed to use for an Eruv, is the Chozis that grows in the field, not the Chozis that grows in the gardens. And we said that Rav said that both Chozis and Koshois, that bracha that you make on it is Boyer Pri Adomo, because they grow on the ground. The Chozis is grains. It's true that it's not yet ripe, but it's grains, and therefore you make Adomo on it. And Koshois, which is also the sprouts that grow on the branches of the shrubs, they're also Adomo. Reb Zeira ki have a cholish migirse, when Reb Zeira was very weak from the mount that he was learning Torah, have ozil v'yosiv apischad Reb Yehuda bar Ami. He would go and sit in front of the Beis HaMedrash of Reb Yehuda bar Ami. Omar, and he would say to himself, kinofki, when the Talmidei Chachomim come out, kinofki v'ayli rabbonon, when the Chachomim come out of the Beis HaMedrash, eikum mikamayu, I'll stand up for them, v'akabelu agra, I'll get rewarded for a mitzvah I'm doing, because I, Reb Zeira, even though I haven't got the strength to learn Torah now, I want to be engaged in doing a mitzvah. And therefore I'm going to do the mitzvah of respecting Talmidei Chachomim during that time. Nofak Osa Yanuka, the Bei Rav. From the Beis HaMedrash, who came out? A little school child. Omar Lee. So Reb Zeira said to this school child, my Agmar Chorabcha, what did your Rebbe teach you today? Omar Lee. So the child said, he taught me the bracha of Koshois and Chozis. Koshois Boyer Pri Adoma, like we saw Rav said the same thing before. Chozis, but my Rebbe told me that the bracha of Chozis is not Ha'adomo, like Rav said, rather Shahakil Nia Bidvori. The bracha that you make on Chozis is Shahakil. It's obviously, since it's not ripened, these grains, it's not yet a Gemar Pri, and any food item, even if it's edible, but it's not yet reached its full maturity, then you do not make the bracha of Ha'adomo, or Ha'etz for that matter, you make a Shahakil. Omar Le Reb Zeira said to the child, Adaraba. On the contrary, Ibcha Mistabra, the opposite makes more sense. Why? What did Reb Zeira say? Reb Zeira said that when it comes to Chozis, not like you, child, said from your Rebbe that you make Shahakil because it's not yet ripened. No, I say that you make Ha'adomo. Why? Because Hai Me'ara Komarbi. It's nourishing, the Chozis nourishes from the ground, it gets its nourishment from the ground, even though it's not yet the Gemar Pri, it's not completely ripe, Nonetheless, since it gets its nourishment from the ground, you make adomo. V'hai, however, the koshois me'avira komarbi, Ayrab Zera arguing both with Rav and your Rebbe of this little child, where they said that koshois you make adomo, because koshois, these sprouts, they held you make adomo, because these sprouts, that's the gmar pri. That's as far as ripe as these sprouts get, and therefore you make adomo. However, Reb Zera said no. Logic would dictate that you make a shahakel on them. Why? V'hai me'avira komarbi, because they get the nourishment. These sprouts, they don't grow on the ground. They grow on the surface of these branches of the shrubs, and their nourishment comes from the air. Since their main nourishment comes from the air, you make shahakel, not to adoma. V'hilchase k'yenuka d'bei rav. The halacha is like this little child, who this little child said that when it comes to chozis, you make a shahakil, because it's not the gemar pri, not like Reb Zera and not like Rav. And when it comes to koshois, the yunuka said you make adoma like Rav said, because it's completely ripe, and we'll soon see that they're going to even hold that the nourishment of this koshois is not from the air like Reb Zera said, rather it's from the ground itself. And Reb Zera says that koshois you make a brocha of shahakil, the aloch is like the yunuka that you make a ho'adoma. My tama, hai goma gmar pri, v'hai lav gmar pri. The reason that you make ho'adoma on the koshois is because the koshois are as ripe as they're ever going to get, or they are ripe, therefore you make ho'adoma. And in the case of the chozis, it's true maybe that they get their nourishment from the ground, but they're not yet ripened. It's these grains that were harvested when they were still green and damp. And since it's not the gemar pri, the halacha is that you make shahakil, like the child said from his Rebbe. Or ma'ide ka'omrus, and this that you, Reb Zera, said, that the reason that you make shahakil on the koshois is because it gets its nourishment from the air, not from the ground, it's not true. Hai me... This that you, Reb Zera, said that the chozis gets its nourishment from the ground and the koshis gets its nourishment from the air. Loihi. That's not the case. It's not the truth. Koshis nami me'araka rabbi. Even the koshis that grows, that these sprouts that grow on the branches of these shrubs, they get their nourishment from the ground, not from the air, and therefore the bracha is adoma, not shahakil, like Reb Zera suggested. How can I prove that the nourishment of the koshois, even though it's not directly planted into the ground, is growing onto the branches of the shrubs? How do I know that it's getting its nourishment from the ground? The hokachazinon, we can see the kotlinon leilehizmasa umaisa kashusa. If you sever the connection between the branches and the rest of the bush, then at that point the kashusa dies, then these sprouts also die. So you see that it's getting its nourishment from the ground and not merely from the air. Continues the Gemara, ubekafnios ein ma'arvin. We saw before that Rav said that one of the Omer of Yudah Meshmeda Shmuel Bar Shilas Meshmeda Rav ma'arvin ba papuin, etc. Avaloi bechozes, veloi bekafnios. One of the things that one is not allowed to use for an eruv are these immature dates, these dates that have not yet ripened. Ubekafnios ein ma'arvin. This seems to contradict a brisa. V'otani, we learnt in a brisa, koir. Koir is the soft and edible part of the bark of a palm tree that every year the bark, when it gets an addition of the new year, at the beginning it's soft and edible, and later it becomes hard like wood. Koir, nikach bekesef meiser. One is allowed to buy it with money of meiser sheni, which must be that since it's edible, it's considered a food item, at least on some level. Ve'ein netame tumas oichlin. Even though you can buy it with money of meiser sheni, it's not netame tumas oichlin. It seems that what it takes to be called an oichel, for tumas oichlim, to become tome as food, is not what it takes to be allowed to buy with it, with money of ma'aser sheni. To buy it with money of ma'aser sheni, all it needs is pri mepri, that it's gidulei karka, and possibly that it's vlad vlado yisa oretz, as we saw in Daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis, And that's all it needs. And since this koyr fits that bill, you can buy it with Maisa Sheni money. But for Tumas Oichlin, it needs to be called an Oichel. And since ultimately it's going to get hardened and become part of the bark of a tree and is not going to be edible, it's not Metame Tumas Oichlin. That's as far as Koyr is concerned. Vekafnios, going now to these dates that are not mature, Nikhois Bekesev Maiser, one is allowed to buy them with money of Maisa Sheni. Umetamis Tumas Oichlin. And they are Tomei Tumas Oichlin. So you see that so far, according to the Tanakam of this Brisa, the Kafnios are considered foods regarding Maisa Sheni and considered foods as far as Tumas Oichlin is concerned. So we would really take it for granted that you can use it for an Eruv. How can Rav say you don't use it for the Eruv? Rabbi Yehuda Oimir. Rabbi Yehuda argues and says that Koyer, regarding that first case, the koyr, this soft and edible addition to the palm tree, harehu ka'etz l'chol dvorov, it's considered like wood, it's not considered a food. Elo shenikach b'kesev maisa. And this sounds similar to the Tanakama. The Tanakama said that it's not metame tumas oichlin. That means it's as if it's not a food, it's as if it's wood. And you are allowed to buy it with Maisa Sheni money. The Tanakama also said that. We're going to have to see what's the difference between Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakama. The Kafnios, and regarding these immature dates, Harehen Kipri L'chol Devrem, they are considered food as far as all the halachas are concerned, which means you're allowed to buy it with Maisa Sheni money, which is the same as what the Tanakama said. It's Metame Tumas Oichlin, which is also like what the Tanakama said. Elo, here Rabbi Yehuda adds in, Sheptura is min ha-maiser. And it seems that according to the Tanakama, they would be chayev to take maisers from it. Rabbi Yehuda says that you are potter to take maisers from it. But either way, you see from this brisa that it's called oichel. The kafnios are called oichel. So how can Rav say that you're not allowed to use kafnios for an eruv? Answers the Gemara, Hosom Bidanischoni. There's two different types of kafnios, of dates, of immature dates. You've got some dates that are called the female date palms, and those female date palms, they ultimately become riper at some point. You've got the male date palms that they never get any riper. That means the dates never actually ripen properly, they never mature properly. So it says that when Rav says that you're not allowed to use these not mature dates for an Eruv, it's only talking about those dates that are the female dates. They are those that are going to still mature. They haven't yet matured. So relative to themselves, they are immature, and therefore you cannot use them for an Eruv. However, the Kafnios, they are immature. They're not yet ripe. But those kafnios, which are zechorim, which are the male type of the palm trees, they never get any riper, and they are considered oichel. Since you can eat them at a pinch, they are considered oichel regarding all the halachas that we mentioned in the brisa. Says the Gemara, Ihochi, if you're saying that the brisa is talking about the zechorim, which means that they never get any riper, this is as far as it gets, how can it then be that according to Rabbi Yehuda in the Braisa it says that you don't need to take Maisa from it? Why should you not have to take Maisa from it if this is the Gemar Pri? It's never going to get any more ripe than this. Tanya, did we not learn in the Braisa Omer Rabbi Yehuda loihuzkaru pagei bisyuni, the unripe figs, which were the male types of figs, that they never become any riper, from a place of bisyuni. Elo le'inyin maisa bilvad, regarding the halachas of taking maisa, pagei bisyuni, the unripe figs, v'ahini, and the unripe dates, the tuvina, from a place of tuvina, chayovin b'maiser, since they are the male type of the fruit, and they're never going to get totally mature and ripe, it's called a gemar pri, and you have to take maisa on it. So how can it be here that we're saying that the brisa is talking about the unripe, the male unripe dates, and that would explain why Rabbi Yehuda says you're potter from maisa? It can't be. The male unripe dates, you should be chayev. Elo la'olam lav b'nischoni. The truth is that the Braise is not talking about those male types of dates. Those male types of kafnios, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees, it's called a gemar pri, and you have to take maisa from it. The problem is, if the Braise is talking about the female types of kafnios, and that would explain why, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you don't take maisa from it, because they could still get more mature, it's not yet gemar pri, the fruit is not yet finished, and the Braise is talking about those types of kafnios. If so, you see that even these female types of kafnios, they are called peiros. They're called peiros regarding using money of Maisa Sheni to buy them. And regarding Tumas Oichlin, so we're back to our question, according to Rav, why can you not use them for an Eruv? Ule'inyan Tumas Oichlin Shani. And the truth is that even these female types of kafnios, they're not called a pri. And that's why Rav says you're not allowed to use it for an Eruv. The reason you can use Maisa Sheni money with it is simply because it conforms to the rules. It's prima pri and it's gidulei karka. And you're going to say, why then is it metami tumas oichlin? Okay, that's different. As far as metami tumas oichlin is concerned, there we have a different rule. Anything that you could do something to it to make it ripe, even though it's not yet ripened now, it's considered enough of a pre that it's called metami tumas oichlin. And therefore, the Braise says that it's metami tumas oichlin. However, regarding Eruv, it has to be edible now. When you put these kafnios out to make an Eruv, you have to be able to eat it. That's how you're koine shvisa. That's how the food represents you. If you're not there, the food represents you in as far as the Eruv Tchumin is concerned. It has to be fully edible, If it's not fully edible, and since these kafnios are not fully edible, you're not allowed to use the kafnios for an Eruv. Tumas Oichlin Shani could omer Rabbi Yechanon. Like Rabbi Yechanon said, Hoil v'ro'u lemitkan al yedei ha'or. Since if you heat them up with fire, then you can make these kafnios become ripened and edible. That's why the metam is Tumas Oichlin. Hochanami, also here in this Braisa, even though we're talking about kafnios that are not considered Gemar Pri, we're talking about the female type of kafnios which are not Gemar Pri, and that's why according to Rabbi Yehuda, you do not need to take Maisa from them, and that's why according to Rav, you cannot use it for an Eruv. However, it's Metami Tumas Eichlin Hoil V'Yochil Lematkon Alidei Ha'or. Since you can make them ripe by using fire, it's called a Pri as far as Tumas Eichlin is concerned. Where did Rabbi Yochanan introduce this? We're using this concept of Rabbi Yochanan, this halacha that Rabbi Yochanan proved, that as far as Tumas Oichlin is concerned, even something that's not considered an Oichel, if it could be made edible by doing some type of a procedure, it's already Metami Tumas Oichlin. Where did Rabbi Yochanan learn this from? Ahad de Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, Shkedim Hamorim. Now, the shkedim, these are almonds, and there are two different types of almonds. There are bitter almonds and sweet almonds. Both of them, they can either be the big almonds or the small almonds, and it's very different. The bitter types of almonds, when they are big, they are not considered an oichel. They're not considered noichel. When they are small, that means when they're small, they're edible. And when they get bigger, they are no longer edible. And there's a discussion. We'll soon see when they're small, is it called gmar pri or not? Because it is going to mature more. But when it matures, it's not going to become edible. So that's a question. Since they're only edible when they're small, is it called gmar pri? Is it not called gmar pri? But when they become big, they're definitely not considered an oichel, because they're bitter, you cannot eat them. However, you can do something with the fire, heat them up, and that takes away their bitterness, and then you'll be able to eat even the big almonds of the bitter almond type. That's as far as the bitter almonds are concerned. As far as the sweet almonds are concerned, it's much more straightforward. When they are small, it's not a gemar pri, they're not really edible. When they get bigger, that's when they're edible, that's when it's a gemar pri, and that's when you're chayev to take Meiser. So as far as the sweet almonds are concerned, it's very straightforward. Everyone agrees. The small almonds are potter from Meiser. When they grow big, they're chayiv in Meiser. The question is going to be the bitter almonds. When they're small, everybody agrees that They are edible. The question is it called Gemara Pri? If you consider it Gemara Pri, it'll be Chayev Maiser. If you don't consider it Gemara Pri, it will not be Chayev with Maiser. When they get bigger, everybody agrees that they are not any more edible, and therefore it's potter for Maiser. Rabbi Yochanan is going to show us that since you could make them edible by doing some, by heating them up, that they're going to be Chayev B'Maiser. And the same idea we've used here with Tumas Oichlin, that even though it's not an Oichel because they are Kafniois, and they're not really edible, they're immature and unripe, but as far as Tumas Oichlin is concerned, it is considered a Pri and an Oichel because you could make it edible by heating it up. Let's see all this inside. The Tanya we saw in the Braisa. Shkedim Hamorim, the bitter type of almonds. Ktanim Chayovim. The Tanakam in this Braisa says that when they are small, they are chayev with Maisa because it's the Gemara Pri. After this, it's no longer going to be edible. Gedolim Pturim, when they get larger, they are potter from Maisa because it's no longer edible. Mesukim, the sweet type of almonds. Gedolim Chayovim, when they are big, they're edible, it's the Gemara Pri, you're chayev to take Maisa. Ktanim Pturim, but when they are small, it's not yet the Gemara Pri, the Pri is not yet fully mature, and therefore you're potter from Maisa. Reb Shimon Reb Yosi Oimer Mishum Oviv. Reb Shimon Reb Yosi said in the name of his father Reb Yosi, and he's now bouncing back to the bitter almonds. The sweet almonds, there's no discussion. The bitter almonds, Reb Yosi claimed, Zeh v'zeh lifter. Not only when these bitter almonds are big, are they potter because they're not edible, but even when they're small. He says that they're going to be potter. Why? Because when they're small, it's not yet a Gemar Pri. V'omri lo, others say in the name of Rabbi Yosi, zeh v'zeh l'chayev. Not only when they are, that means also when they're big, also when they're small, they're going to be chayev. When they're small, they're chayev, because this is the final stage, it's the Gemar, it's the final point when they're still edible. So it's called a Gemar Pri, it'll be chayev. Even when they're big, says Rabbi Yosi, according to the second version of Rabbi Yosi, even though they are not edible, they're chayev with Maisa. How can that be? Om Rabbi Lo, Hoyer Reb Chanina B'tzipuri, Kativri Ha'omer Zeh V'Zeh Lifter. The halacha was like the opinion that says that Rabbi Yosi holds that they are potter when they're small because it's not yet the Gemara Pri, and when they're big, they're potter because they're no longer edible. Here's the big question. Well, according to the opinion that says that Rabbi Yosi holds that when they're big and when they're small, they're chayev b'maisa. When they're small, I can understand the chayev b'maisa because they're edible. When they're big, how can you say that you're chayev b'maisa? You can't eat them. Since you can fix them, you can do something to make them fit to be eaten, even when they're big, therefore it's considered an oichel, and you're chayev to take Maiser from it. And from this Rabbi Yochanan we learned regarding Tumas Oichlin that even though the kafnios are not considered the fruits because they're not mature, and therefore you cannot use it for an Eruv. However, as far as Tumas Oichlin is concerned, they are becoming tomei because you can make them edible by heating them up on the fire. Continues the Gemara. And now we're going back to the koir. The koir is this soft and edible addition to the bark of a palm tree. Omar Mar, Rabbi Yehuda Oimir, koir harehu ka'etz l'chol dvorov. We saw in the Braisa before that this koir is considered wood. It's not considered an oichel. It's not considered a pri. It's like wood. Elo shenikach b'kesev meiser. But you at the stage when it's still soft, it's edible, especially if you cook it. And You can buy it with money of Maisa. That was the only exception according to Rabbi Yehuda. Hainu Tanakama, we mentioned this question before. The Tanakama in the Braisa said exactly the same. What did the Braisa say? Koir nikach bekesev Maisa. You can buy it with money of Maisa Sheini. Vein metami Tumas Oichlin. But it's not considered an Oichel as far as Tumas Oichlin is concerned. Rabbi Yehuda is saying exactly the same. That it's called Eitz. Eitz is not metami Tumas Oichlin. It's wood. And nonetheless, you can buy it from Maisa Sheini. You can buy it from Maisa Sheini because you can eat it. It's prima pri, it's gedulei karka, it fits the bill of the conditions of what you need in order to be able to buy it with Maisa Sheini money, you can buy it with Maisa Sheini money. But there's no machlokes between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda. Omar Abaya, so there's going to be two answers. Abaya is suggesting that the place where Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakhama in the Brais are arguing by Koir is Shaloku v'Tognu. Even though in the Brisa it said that it's not metame tumas oichlin, the question is, if you shalku v'tognu, if you cook it, you boil it very, very strongly, or you fry it, you roast it, it's a frying, tigun is frying, if you fry it in oil, if you do that, then it becomes this koir, it becomes edible, or it stays edible, it is edible, and therefore, it's going to be metame tumas oichlin. That's going to be the difference between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda. According to Tanakhama, the Tanakhama just says that the koyer nikach bekesef ma'aseh ve'ein metamei tumas oichlin. However, if you make it, if you do shalku v'tignu, then it will be metamei tumas oichlin. However, Rabbi Yehuda used a much stronger term. Rabbi Yehuda said, "Koyer harehu ke'etz l'chol dvarov." Everything about it is the same as its wood. It's not in the food bracket bichlal. Besides, you're using it for buying it with ma'aseh sheni. Since Rabbi Yehuda said very strongly that it's considered etz, that means that even if you're going to do shalku v'tignu, if you're going to roast, if you're going to fry it, or if you're going to boil it very much, nonetheless, it's not going to be metame tumas oichlin. That was what Abaya said. Maskif lo Rava. Now Rava is asking on this, can it be that somebody holds that shalku v'tognu, if you do the boiling or the frying, that it's not going to be metame tumas oichlin, which is what we just said now is the point of argument between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda. V'otanya, we learnt in a braisa, ha'oir, the skin of an animal, v'ashilya, or the sack, which was holding the fetus, ein metame tumas oichlin. They're not edible, they're not an edible part of the animal, and they do not become tumas oichlin. Oir sheshalku, however, if you boiled the oil very much, the skin very much, v'ashilya shechishe v'oleo, or if you intended somehow to do something to this sack, which is going to make it edible, the shilya, technically speaking, it would be edible, but people don't eat it. But if this person decided, he thought about eating it, and therefore in his mind it's a food item, metame tumas oichlin, it is metame tumas oichlin. So you see clearly that the skin, which is not edible, unless you boil it, if you boil it, it is metame tumas oichlin. So then why does Rabbi Yehuda say, that according to Rabbi Yehuda in the Braisa, why are we saying that the koyer, if you boil it, even if you boil it, it's not going to be metame tumas oichlin. And if you say it is metame tumas, and if you say that it is metame tumas oichlin, then again, there's no machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakhama. The Braisa seems to say it is a machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Tanakhama. Elo Omar Rava says there's a different point where the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda are arguing, and it's not regarding tumas oichlin, it's actually regarding which brocha you make on it. Ika b'nayu brocha, the itmar, because we learned, koyer, regarding this soft and edible addition to the bark of the palm tree, Rav Yehuda oime omar boyer pri adoma. Rav Yehuda says that the brocha you make on it is boyer pri adoma, because it grows off the ground. Ushmuel omar, shahakel niya bidvari. Shmuel says that you make the brocha of shahakel. Rav Yehuda oime boyer pri adoma, oichlohu, he says it's food. If it's food, it's a pri, so you say boyer pri adoma. And it grows on the ground. Ushmuel Omar Shahakil Nia Bidvari. Why does Shmuel say that even though you can eat it now and therefore you have to make a brach on it, but you can't say the Priho Adoma because Kivan Shesoifei Lehakshui, since ultimately the end of the day it's going to become hard like wood and it will no longer be edible, you can't say a brach of Bayre Priho Adoma, that is the fruits of the ground, of the earth, so you make the brach of Shahakil Nia Bidvari. You can't make the bracha of Bayer Pri Ho Adoma. So we're saying now that the Tanakhama of the Braisa, who say that Koyer Nikach Bekesev Maisev Ein Metame B'Tumas Oichlin, they say that they will hold that you can say Bayer Pri Adoma on it. Like we saw like Rav Yehuda we just learned now. However, Rav Yehuda in the Braisa that says that it's considered like wood, it's considered like wood, that's what Shmuel said. Like Shmuel said, you make the bracha of Shahakal Nia Bidvari. It's the same as we find that there's a machlekas here that we just learned between Rav Yehuda and Shmuel, which bracha, that is going to be the argument also between the Tanakhama and Rav Yehuda in the Braisa. Omar le Shmuel Rav Yehuda. Shmuel said to Rav Yehuda, Shinana, the sharp one, that's how Rav Yehuda was often referred to, Kavosech Mistabra. It's probable and logical, like you're saying, that the bracha on this koir should be ho adoma. Daha, I can prove it. Tznoin, regarding radishes, shesoifoi lehakshis. At the end, they become very, very hard, and they're no longer going to be edible. Umarachino no leo boir pri adoma. And nonetheless, when you eat them, you make the bracha of boir pri adoma, like you, Rav Yehuda, said regarding the koir. Velohi, but it's not a good proof. Tznoin, regarding radishes, noti incha adata de pugla. The reason that people, they plant it, is in order to eat it when it's soft. And therefore you can make boir pri adoma, because this was the intention and the purpose of the reason that these were planted. But dikla, the palm trees, lo noti incha adata de kaira. But nobody would suggest that you planted a palm tree, in order to be able to eat the kaira, this soft and edible addition to the bark, whilst it's still soft. That's not why you plant a palm tree. And therefore, even if you were to say ho adoma when eating the soft radishes, but that doesn't mean that you would say ho adomor on the koir. Va'afegav de kol say Shmuel Rav Yehuda. Even though Shmuel complimented Rav Yehuda's standpoint that you make ho adomor on koir, hilchos kavosei de Shmuel, aloch is what Shmuel said, that the bracha you make on koir is shehakil nia bidvori. And Yemir Tz Hashem, in the next sugya, we're going to continue. In the next shir, we're going to continue from here.